it's wonderful to see all of you here, especially since Bill Engel is here with us. Bill is probably my oldest friend at Riley Hospital. He and I were fellows together, and that means that you spend a lot of time at the hospital. He's a neonatologist, a full professor of neonatology, and working part-time still. He, unlike me, who left totally, he can't let go. So that's pretty good. Isn't that right? You can't let go.
That is true. I love what I do.
Yes, and Bill is such a kind neonatologist who is as honest as he can be with families, and it was a privilege to work with him all those 31 plus years at Riley. He also is very involved with Mission Medical Haiti, and whether you know it or not, the Ladies' Aid for the last 4 years has been making comforters to send to Haiti. We had the medicine bottles that we collected for a long time until it was hard to get bottles back into Haiti. And so you have been a part of Mission Medical Haiti, even though you may not have realized it. And Bill is going to update us on what's going on and what the rising needs are for this medical mission that's been in existence since the mid-70s? Mid-90s. Okay. All right. So please open your hearts and your ears as you listen to Bill today.
Thank you, Karen. Am I on? Okay, you can hear me okay? Very good, very good. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to come and share about Mission Haiti Medical. Today, I would like to ask you to pray for me as I present this information to you. So if you'll just take 10 seconds and pray for me. Thank you. Mission Haiti Medical has partnered with Camp Creek Church now for 7 years, 5 years, 5 years. And Karen mentioned comforters and pill bottles, and I'll show you some of those pictures in a few minutes. But I do want to give you a little bit of background of where Mission Haiti Medical came from and why it's important. And what we're doing in a little town north of the capital called Port-au-Prince, but the little town is called Saint-Ard, Haiti. And we're going to go into a bit more detail about where that is and what we're trying to accomplish there. So next slide, please. This is a video that we're going to show you. It's a 3-minute video showing you a little bit about the physical plant in the hospital that we have constructed and are servicing today. The video is on YouTube, so if you'd like to look at it. But let's get started and give you a little history behind the founders of Mission Haiti Medical. The speaker is Mark Fulton, who's the
In January of 1993, my wife Kathy and I came to Haiti for the first time. And we were moved by the poverty, we were moved by all the problems that it faces. And we would leave, go back to the United States, and then we'd say to ourselves, and then what? We found that a dream had already been planted in the minds of both Pastor Jean-Marie from Saint-Ard and Ms. Phyllis Newby, a missionary who had been placed in Haiti and called by God there. So we came alongside them, and with the help of many people from many states and several countries, a hospital was built.
Quand m'a parlé de l'hôpital ça, me toujours penser c'est un rêve qui est mieux. C'est qu'il y a plus de difficultés pour mon côté capable d'aller pas au prince, je vais dans l'hôpital. Many car accidents on the road, motorcycles, so a lot of people die on the road going. So now we got hospital here.
Non seulement situation géographique nous, mais mon communauté a aimé venir l'hôpital là, non seulement pour qualité de service là, mais c'est pour prix que nous jouons le jeune service là.
I can say it's a blessing for the community.
Thankfully, as the hospital has grown, as the hospital has progressed, there are so many things happening. There's a prosthetic lab, there are surgeries happening, there is general medicine happening, there are babies being born, there's an emergency department, there's a pharmacy department, there are so many things happening that is totally beyond us. The staff is entirely Haitian. Physicians, nurses, dentists, lab techs, and support personnel all have a place to be and a place to be part of a family. Our dream for this hospital in the future is that there won't be a need for a missionary from a foreign country. It can be totally Haitian-driven, Haitian-supported, and Haitian-run, independent of those from elsewhere. I believe this is a particular place that God is visible, God is palpable, and God's doing some great things. And we all have to work together to keep it moving forward.
So thank you for watching that video. And I hope you have a sense of the focus. And we are working very hard to make this not a U.S. mission, but this is a Haiti mission where not exactly Haitian music, but we could go with it. That's all right. But the hope is that we can provide a Haitian service that is entirely Haitian staffed. We are not physically there yet because of the economy in Haiti, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But our ultimate goal is to make this entirely Haitian run. It's the analogy you've heard many a times, I'm sure, is that you can give fish to people, but it's only going to help them if they learn how to fish and can provide for themselves. That's the ultimate goal that Mission Haiti has. So just to remind you, Haiti is in the Caribbean. And on the map you see in the upper left, you can see Haiti circled, but to the north of that is Florida, and to the south is South America, and then Central America is to the left further. So we're just south and east of Cuba and southern Florida. The town that we're talking about, Saint-Ar, is just north of Port-au-Prince, about 60 miles, but it takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours to get there because of the roads. But that's that green spot is where the hospital is, and our hope is to surround the area with medical services that are similar to what we can do in the United States. That's our goal. Next slide, please. And then you see a little more background about Haiti. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. The annual income is $800. Two out of three people in Haiti do not have a formal job. Haiti is plagued by the poverty, plagued by, unfortunately, corruption in the government, much civil unrest, organized crime, drug trafficking, and lately, COVID-19. Now, all these fundamental problems in social systems lead people to want. They want good health care. They want God. They depend on Jesus Christ to help them through some miserable situation. And when you go to Haiti and you go to church services, God is glorified. I'm not going to show you a video of the church services in Haiti, but they are phenomenally glorious to participate in, because our Haitian brothers and sisters who have very, very, very limited resources are there glorifying God every Sunday, every day of the week. This is a picture I took when we were doing a mission trip to a small town outside of Saint-Ard, and just gives you a sense of the living accommodation. Next slide, please. And you can see their bathroom. Their outhouses are much different than the outhouses that some of us might have grown up with. Next slide, please. This was a heartbreaking picture for me. I took this when we were in an outreach clinic, and a family brought their little boy in for medical care. And it emphasized to us how hard it is to live in Haiti. And as a neonatologist who takes care of babies, and have done so all my life, it's wrenching to know that 1 in 20 babies in Haiti die every year. So, being a neonatologist, what do I bring to the table? Well, there's a program to help our physicians and our nurses and our lay folks in Haiti to learn how to take care of babies so that they don't necessarily die in childbirth. The next slide gives you some of the responses to this program called Helping Babies Breathe. So a group of us brought this educational program, and that's one of our responsibilities as a missionary in Haiti, is to provide an educational forum for the staff. So we brought mission along with us in Mission Haiti Medical, this Helping Babies Breathe program, and within a week, providing just a little extra help with some breathing, a baby survived that wouldn't have a week before. So the importance of missionaries is not just to provide services, and I think you're getting the message that we're here as educators too, but we're here as helpers and facilitators, not just givers. I'll expound that sometimes giving is heartwarming, but giving doesn't necessarily help people flourish. And that's what we're looking for in Haiti, is to help our Haitian brothers and sisters flourish with the help of God. Next slide, please. So when we're talking about the medical community that we are trying to build in Haiti, you saw Mark Fulton's video about the storyline that the dream started in 1993, and it's continuing through 2020 and beyond. With your help, we can continue to do this work. So there's been some transition, but the basic philosophy is to use our Haitian staffed hospital and then reach out to all the tiny communities around to be able to provide health care and resources. So next slide. So in order to give you some background, when Mark Fulton started in 1993 and I joined in 1999, we as as missionaries were actually supporting the hospital. At that time, the hospital was only a clinic, open Monday through Fridays during the daytime. We did not have any additional services at that time. But those of us who came to Haiti and were missionaries, we went out to all these small towns and provided medical services. We saw families and babies and children and adults, we drug along a lot of medicines and things like that, and we worked very hard to try to provide services. Now, what has happened is that when we'd go out to see a family in one of these small towns, is that we would have to take little plastic bags and pour medicines into these plastic bags. And then families would be taught by an interpreter to utilize that medicine in that plastic bag. But picture yourself. You're in one of those homes that we just saw. No refrigeration for medicines that you might put in your refrigerator today. And you've got this plastic bag that you have to pour 5 milliliters or 1 teaspoon into some kind of a container that you could give to your child. What we found is that there are many, many mistakes that are made when we've used that system of providing medicine. So the pill bottles that you have collected have provided a godsend in the ability to provide medicines in a safe way. So I want to emphasize that point. Now, because of our concerns about unsafe delivery of medicine, we've kind of shifted focus. We've focused now on growing the hospital and the hospital services. So since around 2005, we've started to using a combination of the outpatient clinic and the missionary groups. We've transitioned really, since that period of time, 2017, 2018, into really basing our focus on services in the hospital, hiring Haitian nurses who go out to outreach clinics and provide pill bottles with accurate amounts of medicines that they can receive. And then those nurses in the outlying communities can then refer patients into the hospital who need more extensive services. So we've made a transition to trying to build that spoke and wheel delivery services by hiring all Haitian personnel in the hospital to try to do something that's never been done in Haiti or in most other places around the world, is make this a Haitian-based facility and supported by the community. Now, what we've found is that in 2018, the pastor Jean-Marie that you saw in the video and other folks in Haiti said we needed an emergency department that's open 24/7. Before that time, we hadn't dreamed about opening an emergency department in the hospital because of resources that are needed. The board for Mission Haiti Medical contemplated and prayed a lot about whether to do that. And we said, okay, we've got enough funds to last us maybe 12, 15 months. And we decided to take the leap of faith and open a 24/7 hospital. With that growth, there's been tremendous community support for this kind of work and this kind of service. And lives that would have been lost before a motorcycle accident. A little background. Motorcycles are one of the predominant ways that people move around Haiti. And you may see two people on a motorcycle. I've seen up to seven people on one motorcycle before. So you can imagine a motorcycle going down 19 at 50 miles an hour, and something happens, everybody's injured. So there had been no place between that area called Port-au-Prince and then that area north of Port-au-Prince called Gonaïves where there were any medical services for emergency events like car accidents or motorcycle accidents. So we took that leap of faith, and the community has been phenomenally happy with that. Now, from the Mission Haiti Medical perspective, from a board member perspective, it's pretty taxing because of the cost of services. We have more than 60 members, nurses, doctors, pharmacists, radiologists, lab technicians, who we are supporting about 60%. 40% comes from the community and the billings that we make. But we're working to try to move that 40% beyond. But in a place like Haiti, where I've already given you some background, how poor it is, it's unlikely that for the next years ahead, Haiti's going to be able to be self-sustaining financially. So we're expecting that we're going to need to be in there garnering funds for our Haitian brothers and sisters. So we've moved toward building this physical facility, and one of the things that came along with opening an emergency department was transitioning from having babies in those homes that I showed you, one of those little huts that I showed you, that's where babies were being born for the most part. Now everybody wants to come to the emergency department to have a baby. So now we've had this great expansion of babies being born and having to develop a maternity service, OB, and having a place for moms to stay. So now we have somewhat surprising, unexpected from our board perspective that we're going to have so many deliveries, but now we're having many, many births that are much safer, obviously, than in some of the places that I showed you. So currently, we're working very hard to build more services. Next slide, please. The underlying message I've already stated, but if you look on our website, this will be the official mission statement, is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through a healthcare alliance with the people of Haiti. That's our role. That's our goal. That's our prayer, is to make this a Haitian fed system. So next slide is more of our vision, is to develop the self-sustaining hospital that approximates some of the services that we provide in the United States today. Next slide. And then our foundation Bible verse is from Romans. Therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. So we in the Mission Haiti Medical kind of arena Our service is to try to provide the infrastructure so that our brothers and sisters in Haiti can flourish in their medical care system. And all to glorify whom? God. Absolutely. This is all about glorifying God. COVID-19 has brought up a lot of issues that are much more apparent today than in years past, or that we've not accepted as being true issues. There's a lot of discussion about how we can make things better for us in the United States. But look at the people in Haiti. They have very few resources on which to step back and pull out that $5 for medicine that they need, decide between that $5 and the food that they need for their children. So when we think about the United States, we're still very, very well off. God has blessed us in many, many ways. And I'm just hoping that you're going to help us continue to bless those in Haiti. Next slide, please. Now, just to give you some numbers, every week we see about 500 patients through the clinic system. There's been over 200,000 patients seen since we opened the hospital in 2005. Next slide. And these are some of the hospital services that we are so proud to be able to share with you today. I already mentioned some things about the emergency services. A year ago, the board decided to fund an ambulance. So now we have an ambulance, and the side story there is within 6 months it was already in an accident and had to be repaired, but we have an ambulance because the hospital we have in St. Ard and the emergency department is not one where we have 24-hour a day surgery services or anesthesia services. But we're similar to some of our rural hospitals where if we stabilize a patient, then we can get them to either Port-au-Prince or Go Naive for services that are necessary for life-saving services beyond that stabilization. So that's the wonderful aspect of having an ambulance. Dental services have been kind of one of our founding services. Mark Fulton, that you saw, and some of my colleagues on our board are dentists by trade. And so dental services are phenomenal. When we first started to go to Haiti in 1999, when the dentists did their work, what do you think they did? Do you think they filled cavities? They took teeth out. There's no filling a cavity. There's no dental fine-tuning of our teeth. They just took the teeth out. So that was the only way to prevent infections developing and then, as you know, potential life-threatening issues that go along with having infected teeth. So dental services have been an infrastructure piece from the beginning of Mission Haiti Medical. We've added general medical and general surgery services. The general surgery services are still managed by one of our faculty who work in Haiti. He's an orthopedic surgeon by trade, but we have itinerant missionary surgeons who come in who are eye surgeons or general surgeons, and we schedule surgical processes along every month or two. Unfortunately, Haiti's closed like many other countries to the U.S. citizens, so those services have been on hold. But we also have obstetrics, as I mentioned, and gynecology services. And a pediatric service has been in place since one of the pediatricians has been working with us for over 12 years. I mentioned orthopedic services, and recently, because of the COVID-19 outbreak, that was slow to come in Haiti. And the reason it was slow to come in Haiti was there had been a year-long series of political disruption and financial strain, so that most people, most missionaries, were no longer going to Haiti. People were not going to the resorts in Haiti to vacation anymore because of the social unrest. And I already mentioned the drug trafficking and the financial instability stuff that goes along. So a lot of people were not going to Haiti, so Haiti was not seeing much in the way of COVID-19 until the last 3 months. Prior to that, Haiti continued to be pretty isolated, but then Haiti shares the island with Dominican Republic. And the Dominican Republic, starting in February, I think, actually saw a huge rise in COVID-19. And the borders are pretty porous. There's no guards or anything like that for the most part. So the movement of COVID-19 has gradually come over to Haiti, and now it's starting to explode. So because of the success and the services that we've been able to support in Haiti at the St. Art Hospital, the kind of Board of Health in Haiti did align with us to be a COVID-19 hospital. Now, in order to do that, we did build a kind of a tent wing to the hospital that you couldn't see because the images you saw of the hospital were before this time. But we rapidly built an extra wing to the hospital to allow us to care for Haitian patients with COVID-19. So being part of the Department of Health service line, if you will, is a recognition by the Haitian government that what we're doing in Haiti is the right thing, and they want to partner with us because we're providing jobs, we're providing health care, and providing a route to be able to praise God. You can see malnutrition clinic has been put into place, and you saw the little boy that I talked about with the big pot belly and the problems with malnutrition. We have an optometry group. There's, you know, eyeglasses are necessary for many of us, right? And in Haiti, people have depended on Karen West or Pastor Roger bringing eyeglasses, and then people would pick through eyeglasses, try them on, see if they could see better. But 10 years ago, we partnered with a group of optometrists in southern Florida that looked at building an optometry office. So now we have an optometry service, and an ophthalmology surgeon comes through once or twice a year now. Prosthetic laboratories. You saw a picture of some prosthetic feet. There was a huge earthquake in Haiti, and there were many injuries that occurred and loss of limbs. We had, this is God-driven, of course, 2 years prior to that, started to build this prosthetics laboratory in our hospital. God knew something was happening. And now that prosthetics laboratory allows people to walk who would never have walked before. Limbs lost now in the auto accidents or the motorcycle accidents today is how many people lose limbs today. But after the earthquake, there were many, many people who had lost arms or legs. And to see the prosthetist build a artificial limb for a patient, it takes a number of weeks, of course, where you have to fit and then measure and all that, and then you put it on, and then somebody walks out of the hospital after being brought in on crutches or a wheelchair. How phenomenal, how wonderful God is to provide that kind of service. It totally blew me away the first time I saw a six-year-old walk out with a leg. I'm a pediatrician by trade, so the kids really kind of warmed my heart the most. But nevertheless, and you can see we've got other services that are ongoing. And from a medical school perspective, being a medical school member for the Indiana University School of Medicine, we've now aligned with the dental and medical schools with our hospital to provide residency programs for students. Next slide. So I already mentioned that Camp Creek has been awesome in providing comfort for babies and young children. I just took some pictures of some of the comforters that your group has made, has developed, and all the hard work of sewing and quilting and all that. I'm not very good at that. And then I've already mentioned the pill bottles, how important that is for safety and providing safe medical care for people. So thank you so much for that. And there are many other gifts that you as a community have provided, just thinking about our brothers and sisters and praying for them in Haiti goes much further than any of these details that we can talk about. Next slide. So I wanted to thank you so much. You are blessings. You continue to be blessings to the brothers and sisters and siblings and fathers and mothers in Haiti. So thank you for partnering with us in St. Ard. And we hope that we'll continue to do so for many, many years on ahead. The reason I say for the years ahead is that during the last 2 years, the number of medical missions to Haiti have fallen to the wayside because of the civil unrest that was occurring, and then most recently COVID-19. So many organizations have pulled out of Haiti because of the inability to provide the services. Now we are very fortunate that God led us to really focus on Haitian services, Haitian-led services. So the infrastructure that we put together in St. Ard for providing these kind of medical services was God-led all the way, obviously, and we're sticking with our work. We're continuing, and we've been able to continue and are planning on doing so for the next eon. So thank you again for taking time to listen to me, talk a little bit about one of the passions in my life and how God is leading us to try to provide support for our brothers and sisters in Haiti. So thanks. So if you wouldn't mind praying with me. Lord, thank you for Camp Creek Church and all its members. We're willing to hear the story of our work in Haiti to try to alleviate pain and suffering and provide support. Lord, we want to thank you for every individual who prays for us as we pray for them. As we work through the COVID-19 pandemic here in northern Indiana and around the world, give us wisdom, give our leaders wisdom. Please give us insight. We thank you for all those so that we can best support each other. Thank you, Lord, for all those here today and those who could not be here today. In Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.